Today, organizations are focused on using modern-day technology to drive costs out of the organization, and the role of software in that process cannot be underestimated. Smart software solutions have major impact, like replacing resource-intensive processes with automation and improving collaboration, and those are just the tip of the iceberg. I'm your host, James Hilliard. On today's episode of Connection Point, we'll sit down with our resident software expert, Denise Riley Hughes, to talk more about the evolution of software, the impact it can have on IT and business processes, and we'll look at what's on the horizon. Denise is the software practice manager for the PC Connection family of companies. She is an experienced software professional. Denise has years of experience in this field and is responsible for building the Microsoft practice within the company's professional services organization. And Denise, appreciate you taking time and joining me today.
Thank you, James.
Since you started in the industry, let's give a little timeline perspective from your view, from your seat. What was the role of software when you entered the industry? What did it evolve into? Where do you see it going?
When I first started working here, software was, you know, it just started making that transition from being a box that sat on a shelf to becoming a true business asset for a customer. Now, about that time, too, software publishers were starting to come out with their own versions of licensing programs. And that's something that in 9 years has drastically evolved. So software's really quickly made that transition from being that box sitting on that shelf there in the closet to being that standard business tool. You know, it's across an organization, but also between business partners, and then really as a business utility overall.
You think we'll have boxed software in 5 years, in 10 years?
No. For organizations in the industry, no.
What were some of the biggest drivers over those 9 years then that you saw really driving these software innovations? Was it from the software developers? They drove a lot of the innovation. Was it demand from these business organizations that were saying, we need something different, we need to see the software changing?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think that, you know, depending on where you're sitting in the cycle, you could answer that much differently. But really, from an IS department being responsible for managing not only the internal infrastructure of an organization, but also managing the end user experience, I think a lot of that has driven to some of this change. But you've also have to look at software overall and what software was back then to what it is now, where you look at, let's use virtualization as an example. 8 or 9 years ago, organizations were managed by the hardware that sat in the data center, and they just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's what managed an environment and an organization. But then when you look at virtualization today, that's software, and now software's managing the infrastructure, and software's managing the infrastructure and the end-user experience. So that's also been a drastic change in where we've seen software go over the last, you know, sub 10 years.
And I want to spend a couple minutes here talking about some specific kind of game changers. You brought up virtualization, and virtualization software has definitely helped shape IT. Let's dive in here and talk about how you see that type of software has impacted, let's say, the skill sets of current and future IT pros. Is that changing the way that people have to train and be prepared to be an IT professional these days?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And given that we're talking about technology, IT professionals will always have to be cutting edge. And that's very, very hard for some organizations because you're in the here and the now and you're managing the here and the now, but you want to always prepare for what's coming down the road and always know that it's going to be better than it was before and greater than it was before. So finding that balance between managing the today, but knowing about the tomorrow and how am I going to plan for that, grow for it, and build it is a very high demand for IT professionals, but something that as you're seeing new people come into the workforce on the IT side, definitely something that that is a major need and a major focus.
Let's talk about another specific type of software that is really I think saw a big jump start over the last 2 years. It's been out in the marketplace for a while, but it's collaboration software, things like, say, webcasting type tools, file sharing type tools. There are a lot of things that are helping people collaborate, not only internally within the four walls of our office, but out with partners as well. What's your outlook, really, on the adoption of these tools? Do you see the same thing I did, that it really exploded over the last 2 years, the economy had a lot to do with it, and that's just going to continue?
Definitely. But I think there is a couple of caveats to that. One is a lot of these collaboration tools that we're talking about are social-based. When you talk about blogs and even IT communities, if we just specifically talk about IT in general, they're definitely a value for the end user. But I think we're starting to see these social-based tools, but also collaboration tools in general, become more integrated in an organization, where today they're not. They're really, you know, we're seeing that change happen. We're seeing the requests come in and the need and really the end user experience playing a role here. But as we start talking about, and really what this is unified communication at a much different level. So you said collaboration. There's a collaboration component to that, but it's that unified communication. It's the here and the now, the instant. No longer that phone call, it's no longer that mail that you send physically through the post office. This is now, you know, sitting in front of you on any computer that you're sitting at, and you can communicate across the world to who you need to get your job done. So absolutely, I think that we will continue to see this grow. I think that you'll see cloud computing adding to that component, whether it's in the delivery of what you're seeing as a collaboration software, but I mean, it's just, you can see the industry is just exploding in that space. But you also want to look at, too, the new workers coming in. I can tell you when I went to college, there were 5 computers in a computer lab, and that's all we used. And we actually still had access to typewriters. And today, in today's new workforce coming on, this is all they've ever known. They know gadgets. They know technology. They know everything that's out there. And so when you talk about these collaborative tools that they're all used to, the end users, that your new end users are all going to be used to, I think it's something that businesses are going to have to figure out a way to integrate at some point to keep their business going and the momentum happening as technology just improves.
It sounds like you're, as I'm inferring from your comments here, this is going to be the standard way that we work. Do you have a guess at a timeline of when that becomes the standard way of working?
I would say, really, realistically, integrating it into the business environment to have it something that is a standard across the board, it's going to be close to 10 years. But I think in 5 years from now, you're going to see a major change to what we're using today.
Denise Riley Hughes with us. And Denise, let's talk about another, and again, we're looking at the evolution of software on this edition of Connection Point. Let's talk about operating systems. Those have changed over the last 10 years or so. Let's focus on the latest, getting the most kind of buzz coming out here from Microsoft, Windows 7. Your outlook, what's the promise of Windows 7 moving into the enterprise?
I think it is extremely probable that Windows 7 will be up and running in most organizations within the next 2 years. And the reason why I say that is because companies have really held off on doing anything with their desktops and laptops, or their PCs, we'll call them, for the past 4 years. And now with Windows 7 being as promising as it is, I mean, really Microsoft took a look at end user experience, but also IT management when they released Windows 7, that I think it's going to have a major impact on organizations, and we're going to start seeing the adoption just skyrocket.
Let's move, and you already brought it up a little bit. We'll get a little more thought from you here. On the cloud, on software as a service, a lot of buzz out there. Still some mixed opinions, still people getting used to the idea, security an issue with the cloud. That's really a different conversation. In fact, people can hear that in some other podcasts we've done. But for today's conversation, your perspective on the cloud, where it is now, where you see it moving to?
So I'm glad you bring that up, and I also am glad that you bring up the other podcasts that are out there, because there are some of the podcasts that really go deep dive into where cloud's going and where it is today. But from my perspective, there's a couple flavors to the cloud, and just like just like the name of the cloud, it's a bit of an ominous term, and it's hard to explain to customers when they don't really know what it is. And like I said, there's a few different flavors to it. And if I break it down to two specific ones, it's private and it's public. And cloud in general, and specifically talking about software, what cloud is software? That this is the software industry here. And it's another way of presenting the data to an end user, whether it's hosted off-site, on-site, whether it's, you know, some of your applications, none of your applications, however an organization wants to use it, it definitely is the future, and it's definitely the future that's starting now, and it's just a matter of getting a handle on where it fits in your organization, because at the end of the day, it's going to fit somewhere in every organization depending on what they consider cloud. But like I said, private cloud, if you really look at the world of virtualization and what virtual infrastructures are creating for end users, that's really the first stage to a private cloud. That IT organization that is holding their infrastructure in a virtual environment is presenting a virtual cloud to their end users because it's seamless to the end user of where they're pinging and what server they're actually getting their data off of. At the end of the day, the end user just cares that they get their data. And so when you try to look at it from that perspective or see it from that perspective, you think to people that cloud doesn't sound so scary any longer, that it's starting to make sense to people.
Denise, I know in your role, you work directly with a whole lot of IT pros. You get to hear a lot of great stories. You get a lot of inquiries too. What are some of the top questions that are coming your way now, specifically related to kind of software questions? And what are some of the software technologies that you're hearing IT pros are kind of excited about, buzzing about?
So I'll take a look at the technologies, really, because the software questions that we could get are really across the board. It could be implementation, assessing, where how is this going to fit, really product understanding, asking for demos to see what a product looks and feels like. So those are some of the basics, you know, just the upfront questions, but really it's the technologies. As clients are seeing these technologies being discussed and talked about and highlighted on, you know, industry analysts reporting, the top technologies that we're seeing is, I'll go back to virtualization, infrastructure virtualization, because it's something that we've really supported for a long time, we're continuing to see that happening. So that really the opportunity for clients to implement is only increasing, but it's something that we've seen a steady increase over the course of a few years. Desktop virtualization is another one. So you had asked me about Windows 7. And Windows 7 is a way that a lot of clients are considering some sort of desktop optimization because, like I said, they haven't done anything with their desktop for a while, and now is the time. And do I stay on that old refresh cycle and buy new machines that have the new operating system and just deploy it? Or do I consider a desktop optimization strategy that's going to help me manage my desktops better, save a little cost on the back end with my IS department as far as deploying, managing, patch updates, the whole bit, and then also create a true desktop optimized solution for my end users? So desktop virtualization, I think, is a major hot topic that customers want to talk about. And then unified communication. So that includes the collaboration component, that includes some of the the social networking tools that are available out there, but it's also truly that unified communication view, getting your voicemail, your email, everything in a single console, knowing who's online, who's not, the one-click meetings, really just the overall integrated user experience is where we're seeing that come up again. And then you said cloud computing. Cloud computing is another thing that people are starting to want to talk about, but other people aren't quite ready yet. But we'll be here when they are ready to talk about it.
It sounds good. We're talking about software evolution, Denise. We know that things, software is more complicated these days. It used to be, you went to the store, you bought the software, you took the disk, you went around, you installed it. It's a lot more complicated. I'm not saying anything that our IT listeners don't know. Your thoughts, your ideas, some best practices maybe to recommend to IT pros out there that are staring some new software or some upgrade or some migration type project in the face right now, some best practices to get through that project in a safe and sane manner.
So I am going to put on my software practice manager hat now and answer it this way, is we stand by a methodology over here within our practice areas that's, we call it ADIM, Assess, Design, Implement, Manage. And so before an organization is really looking to implement that new software product, or they could be upgrading a current tool from an earlier version, they really need to look at planning how this is going to happen. So in that planning phase, that first piece that a client's going to assess is the business value that this upgrader or implementation is going to create, or the pain that it's going to eliminate. And that's part of that assessment phase. But also it's helping an organization plan for, you know, how this tool is going to be used, how it's going to be administered, and also supported. And then that design phase comes next, where this is helping plan for the architecture of the tool. Where's it going to go? How's it going to be accessed? How many people do I want using it? And now even to the point of who, for that matter, do I want to have access to this tool? And then the next phase would be the implementation. So now, you know, if the assessment phase and design phase were done properly and done correctly, this makes that implementation phase so much easier. So you said software could be complicated. Yes, it can. But when I plan for it properly, it makes it much easier down the road when I'm implementing. And I know I've implemented it right because I took the steps to assess and design first. And then finally comes that management component. And this is really the ongoing support of the tool that it's going to require. How am I going to continue updating it so that I don't get to a point where I'm missing a critical patch and my end users can't access this tool? It's that continued management of the life cycle of that tool until it comes to the point where you're going to end of life it, or you are going to, again, migrate to the more current version.
Hey, Denise, really do appreciate you taking time, sharing with us what you've seen over the last 9 or 10 years and changing hats a couple times on us today. I do appreciate the time.
Thank you, James. This was very fun.
And a big thank you to our listeners as well. If you are interested in leveraging the power of software to benefit your organization and you want to learn more about services that can help you plan a successful implementation, upgrade, or migration, you can turn to the PC Connection family of companies serving SMBs, government, education, and enterprises. Their team has the technical expertise, the professional services, and the extensive IT product lines to transform technology into complete IT solutions for your organization. You can contact your account manager to learn more about engaging the support of their on-staff experts when planning your next IT project. Their team of experts can help you with the assessment, planning, design, and implementation of your software IT project. Learn more over at pcconnection.com or simply call 1-800-800-0014. I'm James Hilliard, and that wraps up this Meet the Expert installment of Connection Point.